When he just said about family, one of the things they talk about over and over in Reading is revival is sustained in family and community. If you don't have a good family relationship in your body and with the people that are ministering through you and under your covering, it's not going to last for really long. So Living Waters has got an awesome environment for revival from that standpoint. There's lots of them, but that's one of them. So, well, we have a lot we want to do. So I'm just praying. That's the hardest thing is, God, just get it all squished into time. So first of all, it is so good to be back. There is nothing like coming back to family. Nothing. Yeah, you get set free even while, you know, it's good. So thank you for being family. Welcome to everybody I don't even know yet. There are new faces here, and I'm just so glad to see you, and hope and pray that you're finding a wonderful encounter with your Jesus here and with other people. So, okay, clock's running. Here we go.
You got to remind them we have quite a bit of our own family here. You don't want me to talk really fast. Okay.
Well, we know Ben and Joanna here, and our son Jared is here too. He's been back for a while.
He allowed us to bring our airbed along and pitch it in his living room for a few days. So
we're camping on his thing. So we have been here since the beginning of Living Waters, and we've also been in Elk River for 45 years. And it was in Elk River that we got filled with the Spirit and really just blown out of the water of normal Christianity. And we have had a heart. God put it on our heart from the very beginning, a love for the city, this city, and a love for the unity of the body of Christ in this city. And so we are contending for that. Even when I'm in Reading, I'm praying for Elk River and Living Waters sometimes. God just puts it on my heart. So thank you for all of you who have supported us for the last year in prayers, and even when you have given us money, the church has been supporting us once a month, and so that's needed. So we want to tell you a little bit why we went to Reading. We each had a couple of different reasons. My reason was, really, I wanted to be totally free from doing and being all these things and just have time to focus on God, because I know that before I or anyone can go farther and deeper and allow God to just use you more and more, the key is relationship with Him and having time with Him and getting to know Him more. And the key is more, because we all know Him, but it's always the more. So I went to Reading to go deeper with God. I wanted to be really, really close to Him and get so solid in my love and faith in Him that all the little fears I have had about going up and talking to somebody that I don't know about Jesus or, you know, da-da-da-da-da, would just start to go away. So that was my goal for going. What was yours?
When we talked about this, I said to follow her, which I did. But no, I wanted to go after God in a bigger way and to take time to focus on Him. I had my own business for a number of years, and I pretty well shut that down as we went out there, just to really take time to focus on the Lord and to be able to soak in what we heard. You know, Ben had been there for 3 years. He graduated third year as we graduated first year, and in early May. And hearing and seeing some of the things that were going on out there, I wanted that for both of us. And really, the biggest thing for both of us was we've done different things together here. We've both, you know, I've been an elder since the beginning, as Dave shared, and we've been together in that eldership arrangement with the body here. But I wanted to do something that we could do together, and we found that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a couple minutes of what we found to do ministry together there.
So we have some pictures. We're going to try and go fast of some of the things that we had to do at Reading. Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry is what it is.
So up in the upper left-hand corner is Bethel Church. To the right is Twin View Church. Because Bethel's school is so large, we can't all fit in the church. We had a class of almost 1,200 students in first year. And also, if we all showed up at the same service, they wouldn't allow us all in there. So every quarter we divide up. So we're at different services at the church and also at the Twin View Church. In the lower right-hand corner is the Civic Center. That's where our classroom was, and I'll show you that in just a bit. This is the view from the front door, basically, of the church at Bethel Church, looking over to the prayer house, which is open 24/7. They've got a garden area around there, just a beautiful area to go and get away with the Lord. And this is our close-knit family that we came to know. Libby Gordon, who's from South Africa, and her husband. We actually got to kind of have him involved because of them being married. It's about 65 students. So out of the almost 1,200, there's groups of about 60 to 6,500. They're revival groups. And this is the group that we had. About half of them are from other countries. The first major event that we have, school starts the first week right after Memorial Day, and
Labor Day.
Then about 2 weeks later, we have a retreat for 2 days, 3 nights, or 3 days, 2 nights, whatever, up in the mountains. And that's our first opportunity to get together really as a larger group, but also to get into what's called vulnerability.
The V word. It's hard to say. The whole time, the question we had to deal with in a group of 65 people you're just getting to know was, all right, be ready to share one thing about yourself that if you feel that if someone else knew that about you, they would not think you are a good Christian or a good person. And it's like, but you know what? It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And so one of the things was vulnerability is a weapon for freedom. Because what you bring out of the darkness into the light gets dealt with. So it was tough and good.
So, and that started off with we had 8 interns that were part of the leadership of our small group or of our revival group. And those are the people who started off when we would have our group meetings and began to share about their backgrounds and the struggles that they had in life. On the site is a large tent where our meetings were each day. And as you enter that, and you've probably been in, I suppose, at least once or twice since we've been gone, you've had a fire tunnel in here.
Fire tunnels here.
A love tunnel, fire tunnel.
Yeah.
That was the entry, so everybody had to go through that to get into the tent. Then the next largest event, the off-site, you'll see a lady on the back corner over there with a helmet on. That's the ropes course. And she can tell you about that.
Tricky.
That's about 48, 46 feet at the top up there.
Now, and it was, like the logs wiggle, everything. And the whole thing is teamwork. And, of course, we were belted and we were rigged. So when you did fall, you didn't fall far. But the key was trying to get back up. And now I did not do the high one. I just figured if I went up that cargo rope, I would have no energy left to do anything. I did do the low one, though. Yeah, so that's just some pictures of it. Just can skip going. Then there was a zip line at the end. That was good.
City service. One of the ways that Bethel has blessed the city is to give free service called city service. So twice a year, each revival group puts on our vests. We go out to a park area. We do cleanup. We pull weeds and so on. And something like 70,000 hours, I think it was, that we heard that they had done. And because of Bethel, they actually got a grant. I don't know if it was a state or federal grant to improve a new park area in town and help build that up. Then at Twin View, I talked about smaller services. Twin View Church is probably about twice the size of this room. So it gave us a feel of being in back home to be in a smaller church. This is the classroom, the Civic Center, and there's balconies on the left and right in the back behind where I was taking that picture from. That's the classroom. Every day we'd start off with worship. Our class time went from about 12:30 up to about 4 o'clock each day, 4 days a week. And out in the lobby is where we met with our team at the beginning. Each revival group had a box with the folders with all of our homework. We had 18 books to read, plus a bunch of other things to do this year. And then we had time once a week for our revival groups, where we'd get together and do various things, have some time of worship, different activities in there, and just real building up of people. This was Leslie on stage. Some of you might know who that is. Next to her there, that's Paul Manwaring. And the first week in February is called Deployment Week, where they coach us on what to do when you go back home. For people who are going back home for the summer or first year is all they do. And this is the week, in about a week time from the time she was on the stage, the Lord started showing us it was going to be a second year. We weren't planning to be out there for 2 years. And we had a large event every year. The school sends out about 85 teams to 40 to 50 countries to do mission work. And some of you may have heard about Azusa. Azusa, the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. The Pastor Bill met with Lou Ingalls, and Bill committed the whole school and the church to be part of that. So about 30 buses loaded up, plus some other smaller buses that Ben was able to be in instead of the huge one. He was part of the stealth team out there with the third-year interns. And we went to Azusa. We covered the city and just saw amazing things happen. We went in. This is a housing project in Watts. Some people that are closer to our age might remember back in a day when Watts burned because of riots. This is the housing. We did city service there. Plus, we did ministry. We did what do we call
block parties.
And there was my princess there with her bubble blowing machine in one hand.
I was helped with the children's ministry part, and I was the bubble lady. So I did bubbles, but what was cool is I just decided they were Holy Spirit bubbles, and so every time I'd go up, I'd say, ah, these are the laughter bubbles, and it was pretty cool. And there were people that got saved, people that got healed in those block parties, so that was awesome.
This was at the LA Coliseum on Saturday when we did the Azusa event. And that started about 9 o'clock in the morning and went to almost 10 o'clock at night. Amazing. We were in drizzle most of the day. They expected 100,000 plus people. I think they figured about 70,000 actually showed up. Some people stayed out of the rain and didn't attend. And then we had graduation. Yay. We got to walk the stage and get our certificate. And since that time, we've been doing a little traveling just around the area.
Okay.
Go for it.
So much. If I could try and begin to tell you some of the things. You know, it's not that we ever found anything totally brand new, because there is a foundation here, and in the body of Christ it's growing, about true biblical truth about God. But again, it's like there's always more. And so I'm just quick. Some of the basic things that went through and through, classes and ministry and church time and all that stuff. The first one is that it's relationship with God and knowing Him and His presence that is key to anything in life and anything for yourself. And having time in the secret place with him, having time in worship is top. As born-again people, we are sons and daughters of the King, which means awesome stuff. Speak out people's true identities. You go up, and the first day they were there, and they're going, oh, Leslie, da-da-mush. And I was on the floor the very first time in that lobby. This guy, one of my interns came up, hit me on the head, and he goes, he started speaking things to me, and I just went down. And I'm going, huh? Well, that's what I came for, so okay. But they constantly speak who God sees you to be, and that is so powerful. It almost was uncomfortable at first. I was going, oh, wait.
Gold diggers, not dirt diggers. No prophetic word is ever dirt digging. It's all bringing out the gold.
Yeah.
If somebody sees something of dirt in somebody, if God gives them a revelation, it's the opposite spirit that they encourage you in.
Yeah. And you know that. I mean, that happens here, so that's good. Run at your fears. If you're afraid of something, that's what you should sign up for. That's the truth. That's what they tell you. That's what you start doing. And so, and that's just, if you start feeling afraid of something, go, okay, then I know I need to at least go try that. I need to go check it out and see, you know, what's it going to do to me? Well, probably nothing, except maybe set you free. And you get to discover and explore who God made you to be. And the trick is, and the good thing is, you get to be who God created you to be, which is different than someone else. And so you get to be yourself, and you don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to be like John G. Lake, even. I mean, you don't have to be like anyone else. You get to be you and be free to be you. And you're powerful, and you're great for the King. Vulnerability, we already talked about. And so I got to tell you the one. Okay, so we each want to tell you a little bit of what was really important. To me, when I went, I thought, I got there and I go, okay, I think God is good is something I really want to press into. Because it's so basic. It's like, God is good. And so I purposely started to do things. Like when I would read the Bible, it was like I put on my God is good glasses. So whatever I read in the Bible, I wanted to go, God, where's your goodness in this? Where is it? In a lot of places, it's easy to see. I mean, when he's blessing people and doing things. But some of the hard parts, it's like, where are you, God? Where is the goodness of you in here? But the truth is, God is good. And so, no matter what we see in life, no matter what we read, we need to have that value, that core belief that God is good. Because it gets skewed. Life, going through life, can skew that. All of a sudden, you go, well, in my head, I know you're good, but I don't feel like it right now. I feel like the world is really getting a hold of this, or things are going to you know where, and you know what they people say sometimes. You start to feel that. Heck, I'll say no.
Thank you, Bob.
Hell. Yeah.
For being biblical.
So, you know, so it is. So I just really wanted to go after pressing into God is good. And so I just started doing that. And you know what? It has worked. People, you know, they speak it. You just start telling people, you know what? Okay, that may be. But you know what? God's got good out of this. He's good. He's looking for you. He's in your corner. He's going to do. He said he was always with you. It starts changing you. And so I do have a fire in me to start being a spokesperson for God is good. I even have a Bible verse for you. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're supposed to say it. We have to say it because you know what? The world and the enemy are trying to change that. How, just think, how many times have you thought lately that, wow, what is good, people are saying is bad. Yeah. And what's bad is becoming, oh, it's supposed to be good. It's right. It's good. It's getting twisted. And that's not anything new. The Jews did that. Well, actually, the enemy had him do it. But when Jesus was healing people, what did they say? When he set somebody free from a demon, what did they tell him? You're doing it by the power of that guy, the devil. Well, they were doing exactly the very same thing that is happening now. They were taking what was right and good and attributing it to evil. And it's happening all the time in the world now. And so we have to consciously make ourselves think and remember, God is good. He is good. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what you start to feel, the core value is God is good. And it will help you start to be anchored, like in the song, your anchor in my waves. You're my gyroscope, God. You are that goodness, your truth, that you are love and goodness will keep us from getting sucked in to the enemy's plans for the world. And a core value is something that does that. It's something you believe, and it's going to make you think, okay, I am going to believe this, even if I don't see it right now, even if I don't feel it right now, I am going to stand firm on it because it's truth. And it's in the Bible. I mean, the Bible is just like, I don't know how many times it says, God is good. I counted at least 28. I went in the concordance and counted. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. Well, if his name is good, he's good. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. You are good, and what you do is good. Now, that brings up the whole thing. You know, sometimes I feel like God gave me a picture that sometimes we see him like there's little particles in him. Like, okay, here's his goodness particle, and here's his just particle, and here's his mercy particle, and here's his wisdom and his love. And it's like there are all these little pieces that just kind of maybe come out one. Okay, well, they need some love, so I'll give them some love. Okay, you need some justice. I'm going to give you some justice. But it's not like that at all. It is not like that. God's goodness is his essence. It is actually him. His love is his essence. It's him. So everything he does has love and his goodness mixed. It's all part of it. You can't take it apart. And so when things happen, you can go, okay, I see this part, but I'm going to continue to trust and believe that God's good. He is good. I mean, it's not like it's just a little piece. He is good. Bill Johnson says, you can distort or water down God's goodness, but you can't exaggerate it. There's no way to exaggerate God's love and goodness because it's forever. It's big. It's huge. You can't exaggerate it. You can brag on God all you want, and you still haven't gotten to the end of it. You have not gotten to the end of it. So, he's a good God. I'm sorry. I had so much to say, and I tried so hard to get out so he gets... Okay, so... And the one thing about God is good, another thing is that's what draws people to him. You don't get drawn to somebody that you feel mistrusts you or is going to put you down. And people believe in God. There's a lot of people who believe in God, but they have a wrong conception of him. They think he's distant. They think he doesn't care about him. They think he's waiting to just, you know, okay, you did this and this, so the third time, boom. You know, or he just doesn't care. Oh, that's not God. And how do you get close to someone like that? How do you get close to a God that's what you think? How do you get close to a God that you feel like you've got to do this, 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 and this, and this before he'll grant you an audience? No. And that's not our God. God's goodness draws us to him, and Jesus knew that because that's what his message was. When he told people about his Father and when he healed the sick and took out demons, it was because he was showing God's goodness. He was saying, hey, you've got a Father in heaven who's good. And that was actually a paradigm shift for the Jews. It was total different thinking. And I got to say, I have thought, oh, why didn't you get that? Well, I don't know if I would have right then either, because I would have been taught otherwise. So God is good, and he wants us to demonstrate it and believe it. I'm done. Quick.
Thank you. Well, I wanted to share one of the key things. You know, first year is all about identity, and that's why that couple weeks into the beginning of school, they do the retreat and start teaching us that vulnerability is a weapon. It's all about identity. And the thing, I guess, that impacted me the most is I've had this in my head for, you know, 20, 30 some years, whatever it's been. But it got into my heart, into my spirit, that I carry the kingdom of God within me because Christ lives in me and the Holy Spirit, and he also lives in you. And I found myself sharing this with people from time to time. One of the times I remember, you know, just thinking that Jesus said, oftentimes he said, the kingdom has come near you. You know, he would do some healing, he'd be speaking, and he would say, the kingdom has come near you. Well, that kind of got some people messed up. In Luke 17:20, says, now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And in the King James or the New King James Version, that actually has the proper way of saying that is within you. In NIV and some of the other translations, the translators evidently, from what I had studied, and I won't go through all that right now because I don't have time, but the translators couldn't imagine that he really meant that it's within them, talking to the Pharisees, because they didn't act like they had, you know, the kingdom in them. And they couldn't believe that people could actually have the kingdom, but that's the truth of the gospel. And so I found myself believing that, and as we would listen to various teachers, and I would go places, and I think, even though I'm in the store or I'm walking around meeting people or talking with people, sometimes if I walked up and touched them, that I actually imparted the kingdom of God to them. One of the times I remember was when we were in Los Angeles for Azusa. We were on lunch break, and we had Les and I and one of our friends from international student. We went to get some pizza, and we're sitting in there and just got our pizza, and I saw this family, probably 10, 12 people. They looked like they were Middle Eastern, probably Muslims, out in the area right in front of the store. And I thought, I saw them trying to take pictures, you know, and do selfies and get the family shot. And so I just jumped up and ran out, like I've done a few times, to want to see people doing that and say, can I take a picture for you? And so when I was done, I shook the guy's hand. You know, he said, thank you. And I don't know where he was in his walk with the Lord. But I know that when I was there among them, the kingdom of God was there with them. You know, that as I've just walked around and been places and touched people, you know, just laying a hand on somebody's shoulder and saying thank you for what they did, I know that I brought the kingdom of God there. And you need to realize that too, that the kingdom of God's inside of you, and the Holy Spirit wants to do everything you will allow him to do to bring the kingdom of God out into the environment around you, whether that's your family, whether you're at work, wherever that is. The other thing that I realized, at school, we're with 18-year-olds up to 72. And you can figure out where we fall in that category, that timeline. But, there's when you're in a Pentecostal or charismatic environment, especially the environment at school, there's a lot of physical manifestations. People are doing stuff and getting slain the spirit on the floor. Or just some people that are always, can't you stop that? It's just really annoying. I'm trying to listen to what they're saying. Whatever.
No.
And I would purposely watch people like Pastor Bill and Chris Volatin and others when they're ministering. And even watching them when we're at church sometimes when they're worshiping. Because for the most part, I'm not like that. I don't... On occasion, the Spirit of God will hit me and things happen physically to me. I'm overcome by the Lord. But I realize that I don't have to just... I have as much of the Holy Spirit as any anointed leader, and so do each of you. You don't have to be... Les said a while ago, be yourself. That's what we were learning. If you thought that, if you need healing in your body or in your mind, and if you thought that if so-and-so actually would come to Living Water someday, I could get healed, then that's a possibility. But how about if we took time and everybody stood up who needed prayer for healing, raised their hand, and people around them prayed? That happened at Bethel. In the first month or so we were there, we weren't at that service because we weren't allowed to go to the main service, but there was a guy who had been in the Air Force and had a 650-pound bomb fall on him. He was a loadmaster, fell on him and crushed his spine. And he was at the church, and some people prayed. They just said, get up and pray. I think it was during a healing conference that his wife kind of dragged him to. And some people prayed for him, and the pain went away. He was always in pain. He had two plates and bolts in his back holding his back together. And so people prayed, and that night at the hotel room, his wife is rubbing Asper cream on his low back like she always did, and she just started screaming, "Honey, honey, honey, they're gone!" And the plates had disappeared. Not only was he without pain, the metal plates were gone, and the bolts were gone. They just disappeared. And I saw the guy a few months ago. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. A few months ago, he was up on came up on the platform during the healing conference that we were helping out at and shared a little bit. I've got a part of a video of him sharing that. I was kind of slow on the draw. I didn't get it all, but I went up and talked to him later. So that wasn't Randy Clark. It wasn't Chris Gore that heads up the healing rooms there. It was people there in the audience, in the church body. So you have everything that you need to step out and do God's will. And you maybe not be called to be evangelists. We are not called to be evangelists. But when we have the opportunity to share Christ with people, we'll do that. We're called to the body. I know that I'm called to the body. To help build up people and share and encourage others. And so just remember, you have the kingdom of God in you. The kingdom of heaven has come. We've got the banner here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we want to do. We want to do the will of God by bringing the kingdom wherever we go.
Yeah. And the city service project, other than going out in the parks, that we wanted to do and we had to apply and then we were accepted, was we got to work in the healing rooms all year. Now, their healing rooms, they've been doing this for a long time, but it is exciting because it's a way. There are so many people who need some kind of healing in their body. And yes, we go to doctors, but Jesus is the great physician, and he wants to heal people. He just wants to. And so they've been working for quite a few years at fine-tuning how they run healing rooms. And we got to be there. It's every Saturday morning from, like, we get there by 7:45 until about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And so these are some pictures. This is, you want to talk? This is a soaking room. This is where they get to go and just let God minister to them before they get prayer. Maybe. Sometimes they get prayed for in there.
So when you think of healing rooms, don't think of a counseling room. If anybody has been in counseling with, you know, a person or a couple people come into a room, it's not like a doctor's clinic. Sometimes you get the thing in your head like it's a doctor clinic with all those little rooms and people come in and meet you. This is the main sanctuary that's set up on Saturday mornings for the soaking room. Really are healing rooms that people come in. If you think about the building as a rectangle, which it is, over in that corner is the main entrance, and people come in there and fill out. They've got a clipboard and a sheet that they put the information on, and people are starting to talk to them. Sometimes right there they'll get healed as they're doing that. There's a testimony. I probably won't have time to share it. There's a testimony up on Bethel's website from just a few weeks ago of somebody getting healed when they walked in the door before they started filling out the paperwork. So there's that area. Then they go down the hall and they sit down the hall for a little bit. That's another area. Then they walk around. There's about six different areas besides the room that you go into. I don't have pictures of the actual room where we go in and meet with people and stand and do that because we're not allowed. This is a picture before as things were getting set up. We're not allowed to take photos in there so nobody has their faces up on Facebook and so on. But they'll decorate in there. They make it, a nice setting. There's a communion station set up in there. Yeah. And so as people go around, there are teams of two or three people in the room. Sometimes in the big room, if there's a conference, there'll be anywhere from 250 up to, I think, 700 people was the largest group on a Saturday morning that has gone through the healing rooms there. And we have typically about 20 to 30 teams, depending upon whether it's during the school year or summer. Summer, when all the students are gone, there's less people, but they still do conferences. So one of the last times we were there on a Saturday, we didn't get out of there till about 1 o'clock almost, a little after 1, which is about an hour and a half extra just because of so many people.
So there's the exciting thing is that people, you get to touch them and love on them and minister to them, and God moves and they get touched. And there's a greeting station where there's people that just greet them. And then the hallway, people, there's just so many ways that people can help minister to people in healing rooms just using your gift. You might just be one who loves to walk people down the hall, or you might be one. The classes, they have a classroom before they go in, and they actually teach them. They do 15 minutes of just teaching on what the Bible really truly says about healing, breaks down some of the lies and the misconceptions about healing that have been going on for a long time. And then there's word of knowledge released there, and so some people get touched right there. Then they get to go into the soaking room, and just that's where there's artists that are just prophetically painting. There's worship to continually bathe people in the presence of God and his goodness and his desire to heal. And then they're brought into the prayer rooms where then a team of two or three people will pray for them. Then after that, there is an even called walking in your healing. So then they actually do another class that they can go to that actually teaches them how to walk in the healing they got. because you know a lot, you know, you've heard about it. A lot of times people get touched and they get healed, and then later on it's like, oh, it came, you know, came back. And just teaching them, you know what? It might try to say it's coming back, but stand firm. So they have that at the end too. So there's just, it's not like, you know, it's in our hearts to really want to have some healing rooms for the Elk River when we come back. And it's in the hearts of Bob and Dave, and they're behind it. And so that's what we're shooting for, that when we do come back next year, we want to start working on building a team of people that will partner with God to touch people in their bodies and their souls and their spirits. And there's just all kinds of ways you can do it. And on top of that, I mean, out there they do it every Saturday, but they have four teams. There's a first Saturday team and a second Saturday team, so nobody has to be there all the time. You can be if you want to, though. You know, you can go every week to help minister if you want to. So that's on our heart. I just, you know, years ago when we were filled with the Spirit, it was back like in 81 or something, and I started going to some of the city prayer with, well, Ken Beaudry was leading it. And one of the things God was saying, even way back then, was Elk River is going to be an oasis for the Lord. It is going to be a place of refreshing and His presence in the midst of a dry land. That's what an oasis is. And God's been working on that all along. But how cool would it be to have a place where people could go from any part of the city, any part of the state even, and come and find out that God loves them, He's real, He will touch them. And people come and know that, but you know, when you have a physical need, you need it. When you need a healing, it's not like it's an optional thing. And there are things, I mean, people go to the healing room, they come with just, oh, I just had a headache, or I worked too hard yesterday and my muscles are sore, you know. That's okay. We're to look to God for every answer, so it's okay. And there's people that come from that all the way to stage 4 cancer. Yep. Or pain at an 8 or 9 or 10 or above. Like they're living with pain every day of their lives like that. I cannot imagine it. But how awesome when it goes down, down, down. And even the ones, if the one thing to remember, when you're praying with somebody in a healing room or with anybody, even if they don't feel anything in their bodies, if they don't get a manifest, you know, and something they can actually feel with their senses, that does not mean God didn't do something. Core belief. Every time you pray, something happens.
God does stuff.
Every time. Yes. And over again, people, they won't feel anything, but the next day, oh, my pain is all gone. Or my, you know, so God works in all kinds of ways, but His end result is, I died for your healing. I died for it. I want it for you. So I hope some of you are excited that you might be stirred up to want to help do this when we get back. And however, whatever gifting year is, it can be fit in. No problem, because there's all kinds of things that need to be done.
One of the things that I really love about Bethel and the healing rooms is that the level of authentication that they go through. You know, sometimes you've heard, you know, people that are faith healers, they're totally against the doctors, the medical profession. Bethel isn't. They actually have a doctor and a physician's assistant that are on the board of elders. And Pastor Bill has one of his top advisors that goes with him when he takes trips, who is a medical doctor. And so what is posted online, if you go to the Bethel healing rooms, you click, go to Bethel and go to the ministries, you'll see a healing rooms on there. And you can actually go on and click on Skype on Saturday morning Pacific time, and have prayer. I've done that. We've both done that, to be on Skype. There's six computer stations where we pray with people over Skype all over the world. But
and some of them
they do the healings that are documented online are validated by people that, you know, if it's something on the inside like kidneys or heart or something like that, they go back to their doctor, and a lot of times even have pictures of that to show that it has been healed.
So anyway, that's all. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Well, we want to receive an offering on behalf of Henry and Les. In many ways, they're going to be taking this second year of schooling on our behalf. In fact, we as leaders asked them if they would lead a healing room here. And the schooling they're going to be receiving in the second trimester is really on heavy focus on leadership and on leading teams and developing teams. But also, they will continue to minister in the healing room and continue to grow in faith and in perspective. And it's not that we want to duplicate what God is doing someone else. That's why Henry and Les are the right people, because they know our culture, they know our DNA, and they know this city. And they can develop something that is uniquely us and uniquely the Lord. So there is. I'm going to ask if the ushers will just come on up. If you need another envelope or whatever. There are two ways that you can give. We want to give a one-time gift today, but we also have the opportunity for you to give on a monthly basis if you'd like to, and you just do that by designating on your envelope. Whenever you give each month, just earmark it for the Griners, and you can give on an ongoing basis. We as a church will continue to sow into them. We're excited about what the Lord wants to do. We believe in very late 2017 or early 2018, the Lord will have brought us as a family, Henry and Les, as a couple who can lead a team, and this community to a place to where healing rooms of some sort, encounter center. We don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know this, and I was really encouraged to hear. It doesn't matter what your gift is, there'll be opportunity to use it and to help serve. And it's exciting. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. Living Waters. Yep, make a check out. Thank you. Make a check out to Living Waters. And it will go to them. Say that again. Oh, yes. Yeah, I'll get to that. Let's go ahead, guys. You can start taking the offering. We are going to have a meal after. If you did not come prepared, got to eat. How can you be unprepared to eat? So there's plenty of food. We welcome you. We welcome you to stay, give you a chance to visit with Henry and Leslie and the rest of the body. If you're new here, we welcome you to stay and just connect with us as a family. There will be prayer teams available at the end of the service. In fact, why don't we have the prayer teams come on up? We will remind you if you do want to visit, if you visit out in the lobby, there is coffee out there, and there will be coffee, obviously, in the fellowship hall as well. So prayer teams are coming up. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the awesome kingdom that we get to be a part of. We thank you for the privilege that you give us to co-labor with you in the way that you uniquely made us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.